are many ways you can support Write Up My Podcast, but we'd love it if you pick just one.
You can join our Rump Club via Patreon from as little as £3 a month.
Get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes content, the inside scoop on upcoming episodes, members-only workshops, no-holds-barred Gwen and Kate Wiffle Waffle, and more.
Simply head to patreon.com/writeupmypodcast. Or if you prefer to be a one-off supporter, you can send us a virtual coffee. Head to buymeacoffee.com/writeupmy.
Follow the links in our show notes and we will love you forever. Thank you.
It's right up my street, my boulevard. It's right up my Straza. Oh my God, it's garden right up there. Ah, it's right up my podcast.
Welcome to Write Up My Podcast. This is Gwen Watson.
And this is Kate White.
And this is the podcast in which we talk to people about the bonkers shit they do to make them feel good.
In this episode, we are going to be talking about tantric massage.
Ooh.
But before we get into that, I just wanted to say Merry Christmas, Gwen.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Kate.
Yeah, it is that time of year again.
It's beginning to feel a lot like Christmas.
A pandemic.
And I also want to point out to our dear listener that for the first time in many episodes, Kate and I are actually together.
Oh, it's so lovely to see your beautiful face without...
It's so wonderful.
I know, no computer screens required.
I know, and no loads endless WhatsApp messages.
Oh, Lordy.
Oh, God.
And you're on my patch now, aren't you?
Yes.
We're in Lee Woods, the beautiful Lee Woods, ankle deep in mud, just the way we like it.
And I will explain that it is that Bristol is in Tier 3. I have been allowed, given permission by the Queen, to enter Bristol because I'm moving my furniture back to Wales
tomorrow.
Good
old Lizzie. You and her have got a special little connection.
Yeah, just texted her. She's like, for sure, Gwen.
Yeah.
And so, yes, so we are allowed to meet, but only outside. So that's what we're doing.
Indeed.
We're also forest bathing while we do it.
Yep.
So in this special Christmas special. Oh, also, not only is it nearly Christmas, but this is the last episode of the season.
Now, this feels like a big deal. This feels like something to be celebrated because I have had a total blast doing these episodes for the last however many months we've been doing this first series.
It's been a crazy old roller coaster. I think roller coaster. When you said it's been a blast, I was about to say, has it all been a blast, Kate?
Well, there's been some non-blasty moments.
I think sometimes that roller coaster goes up and down, doesn't it? It's been a journey.
I'm not going to lie. It's a lot of work, isn't it?
It's a lot.
Who knew? I didn't get the memo that this was going to be a lot of work.
Now I know why they tell you if you're launching a podcast, get six in the bag. Get six done ready before you launch.
Nah. Wing it.
Yeah.
Just wing it.
Wing it.
This has been an exercise in just winging it.
Yeah, we're crawling out the other side, but so we're taking a break over Christmas, and then for the first couple of months of the year, we're going to be planning and recording our next series, which hopefully will be dropping into your inboxes from the beginning of March.
Yes.
So meanwhile, it's time to celebrate, Kate.
Definitely.
So Kate, what have been your highlights?
Okay, this is a great question. So many highlights.
Other than working with me.
Other than the pleasure of having Gwen Watson in my life, the other highlights of this have been, let me think, I've loved all the feedback we've had from people. But feedback aside, yeah, I mean, we've really appreciated that.
I'm really, really glad. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful, and we both are, aren't we? We're so
massively
grateful that you have turned up and tuned in and...
Not
and
checked out.
Yeah. and that it means as much to you as it does to us. Like,
yes,
it's helping you as much as it's helping us.
And I think every episode we've done, I've come away feeling like, oh, okay, well, this is something I'm going to put into my life. But I think the highlights for me, the unexpected highlights, I mean, I've spoken a lot about my newfound love of swimming and...
Oh, yeah. Cold water.
Cold water, please. Thank you very much. Although I'm a bit scared. I'm going tomorrow and my friend said it's about 3.5 degrees.
Oy vey.
Not sure how I feel about
Good
that right
Lord,
now.
Good Lord, girl.
The grounding's an interesting one, because before we started doing this podcast, that is probably one of the main topics that I would have been like, that's not for me, that one.
Right.
However, since doing it, I have like gone full circle, and I actually have bought myself a little grounding mat that just sits under my desk and I put my feet on.
Amazing.
While I'm working. And now, this might be completely coincidental.
No, don't believe in coincidences. Go on.
But for years, I've always had loads of lower back pain, to the point where, as if I'm sat on the floor or I'm sat hunched over for any period of time, it takes me a while to straighten up again afterwards. I like creak back into position. Since using this grounding mat for probably a good couple of hours every day, because I've just got my feet on it the whole time I'm working, that is completely gone.
Isn't that nuts? That is amazing.
Yeah. Is it because of the grounding mat? We do not know.
Yes, it is. It is 100%.
Isn't that crazy?
Now you've learnt about grounding.
And I am not the sort of person who would have necessarily have just gone and done that if it wasn't for what we had talked about.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
That is so brilliant.
Another thing that I've used is tapping. I found myself actually going onto Brad's website and finding tapping videos. If something's happened and I'm suddenly feeling really acutely stressed or uptight and I can't seem to move past that, I have gone and used some of his tapping videos. And actually this morning, my daughter's been getting a bit anxious going into school in the morning. So I sat her down. I sat her down before we went into school, and I was like, right, okay. She's 5, by the way. Where's your karate chop bit on your hand? And she kind of promptly karate chopped me. I was like, right, we've located that. Marvellous. And
it's like, step one.
It's like, right, okay, we're just going to tap on your karate chop bit of your hand. And she just looked at me like I was the biggest idiot in the world. Said no, stomped off into the classroom.
Oh.
So there we go. That
you tried though, Kate. You tried.
Yeah. Wasn't quite the success story that I built.
I was waiting for a transformational story there. But do you know what? They do use it a lot for kids, don't they?
Yeah.
And a lot for children. Wasn't I can't remember which of our guests was telling us
one of them.
These teachers who use it for kids before going into exam rooms to reduce their anxiety. Yeah. So you did your best, Kate.
I had about 5 seconds of feeling like I was nailing parenting. Thrown back in my face. What about you, Gwen?
I've loved all the episodes. Yeah. And I've definitely... And part of my personal reason for wanting to do this was to make myself feel good.
Yeah, sure.
I was not feeling good at all.
Right, yeah.
So every single episode has added something into my toolbox.
Yeah.
And that is it's just been so, so really bloody handy. Although obviously sometimes when you're feeling shit and you're sitting there, you do have to remind yourself that you have all these tools.
That's true.
And go, come on now, pull one of them out.
That's one of the sort of the difficult side effects of feeling like crap, isn't it?
Yes.
That it's harder to then
motivate yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I tell you, the easiest tool to grab is going for a walk in the forest.
Oh, heaven.
And yeah, and even if I can't get to a forest, I'll just go out and stand by a tree in the garden.
Yeah.
I'm like, let me breathe in these phytoncides.
Yeah.
So that has been, I think the whole reconnection with nature has really mirrored the journey I'm going through, because I've moved back from the city, back to the country.
Yeah.
And I've connected with nature in a way I have never done in my entire life.
Massive lifestyle change.
Yeah. Even though I was brought up in the country, I was brought up in West Wales, I wasn't that bothered.
Does it feel different being there as an adult? You see it through a different lens.
Yes, well, not only that, because I also did live there as an adult, but being there as an adult in a pandemic, with a new urgent need to feel good, the cold water swimming, the walking, the forest bathing, and the grounding there, and being barefoot outside. All of that is really, really helping me.
Yes.
And those are my first go-tos.
Yeah.
And it's really helped me adjust to my lifestyle change, or my move to the country, that now I'm like, this is where I need to be, and this is really, really helping me.
Brilliant.
So
brilliant. I mean, that is amazing.
Yes.
That it's had such an impact on your life.
Yes. Because when I first moved back there, when lockdown hit, and I moved back to look after my parents, or, do their shopping for them, I was like, what the fuck am I doing here? What happened to my lovely life? And so that has, the fact that that has turned around, and largely due to this podcast, is just, it's amazing. It's brilliant. Bloody love that.
It's right. my podcast.
So this episode is Tantric Massage. And just a little heads up that this episode was recorded about a year or so ago, and this was before our new angle of the podcast. So while we talk about, while we now talk to people about the bonkers things that they do to make themselves feel good, back in the day, we just talked to people about the bonkers thing that people do. So...
feel good or not, yes, that wasn't relevant.
Yes. So...
And actually, this was before I was even really involved in the podcast, wasn't it? So you're only going to hear Gwen's voice in this interview.
Yes, and I'm chatting to Keone, who is a tantric masseuse. Just a little trigger warning for those people who like to listen with their children. This one is not for them. There is mention of vaginas.
I'm cringing just at the thought of it.
I've really pushed Kate to her limits at doing this episode. There is a lot of talk about genitalia, basically, and a lot of giggling while we do it. So,
and I feel like we have to do a shout out to Gwen's dad, because he gets mentioned quite a lot. Yeah. Not in this episode, should I say. In previous episodes. And also to my dad. We love you both so much, but we're not sure this is the episode for you. So feel free to turn off now, and I'll just give you a kind of 30-second synopsis later.
Yeah, we'll just DM us, and we'll just we'll give you the synopsis.
So tantric massage comes from the world of tantra. And tantric massage itself is a spiritual approach to massage. And if it's done properly, it can eliminate energy blockages. So physical, emotional, and mental blockages. And apparently these blockages feed into our subconscious minds and then dictate our outwards actions. So really, that is the kind of the reason why tantric massage can be so helpful. Apparently, according to this website I read, it can restore vitality, stamina, longevity, youthfulness, and vigour.
Hello.
Who does not want their vigour restored, right?
I want all of that. I spoke to Keone, who is a tantric masseuse, and here he is to tell us all about it. Is he a masseuse or a masseur? He's a masseur.
He's a masseur.
Well, is that a word, masseur? He'd probably prefer to be called a masseuse.
Yeah.
Here's Keone, the masseuse.
A massage therapist.
Tantric massage therapist.
Is that a thing? If I just made that up?
Yeah. No, I like it.
Yeah. Masseuse and masseur. Funny old words.
They are. Here's Keone.
Hi, I'm Keone. I'm a tantric practitioner and teacher. I have been working consciously with breathwork for 23 years. I've been working consciously with energy work for just over 20 years. And I've been working consciously with body work, massaging, reflexology for 15 years. So there's a few years of breathing, rubbing, and shifting energy around.
And so what is tantric massage?
So my understanding of tantric massage is it's physical body work, which is also very much operating on the energetic body level. So it's concerned with the flow of energy in your body. And it's also quite very much interested in your base energy center, which is the region around your bum. If you're, I work predominantly with men and male identified, around your bum, around your groin. But there's a lot going on down there. Top of the thighs. There's a really lovely little point just around the perineum, which is one of my favourite words.
I love that word. But if somebody ask me to pin the tail on the donkey, I'm not sure I could.
Don't put a pin down there. What's interesting for me about the energy body is... like, you have the Western understanding of our power system and then the Eastern understanding, and they dovetail really well. So you have the chakras in Hindu philosophy about energy, where are these beautiful centers at your base, your sacral, your solar plexus, and the heart, throat, third eye, and crown. And then you have these really amazing glands, energy hormone-producing glands in the Western endocrine system, which are at the same points. Mm. And they're tiny. Mm. So it kind of, when I work tantrically, you know, on the one hand, you're sort of using your hands and you're massaging and it's quite physical. But at other points, it's almost kind of like doing tiny, tiny lace work, but without a pin or a needle.
We think of tantric as being exclusively the rites of Sting and Trudy.
And Barney the dinosaur.
Really?
Yeah, Barney the Dino. The man who was inside Barney for
Get
all
out.
Those years.
Yes.
Got out of Barney and is now sharing the tantric love with the ladies. He predominantly works just with ladies.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put that one in my file of facts.
Okay.
He doesn't quite spring to mind as readily as Sting and Trudy. But what we think of, okay, what I think of, if you were to say the word tantra, what we think it means... Hmm. Is that just having sex for ages, not coming for ages, like having sex for hours.
Mm.
Sting and Trudy banging away for 8 hours and him going, not yet, Trudes. Not yet. Hold on, love. It's uncanny, isn't it?
It's almost like being with Sting.
It's as if he was in the room.
Sting's then.
So how have we got it? Presumably that's not what tantric is.
Well, I wouldn't like to comment on what tantra is for Sting and Trudy, whether it's still an ongoing thing, whether it's still 8 hours, maybe it's longer now.
Heaven forfend.
Right. I think, like with all of these things, we get a tiny shred of it at one point and then it kind of grows into the definitive article. Tantra, my understanding of it, literally just means to weave. And it's a practice that extends to all parts of your life. So it's about... the food that you eat, how you eat, the way that you source your food, the practices that you do in the morning, the practices you do in the evening, how you work with your own energy, and then how you connect with others.
Mm.
So tantric bodywork, tantric massage is the aspect that I am happy to share with others because it's not sex and it is intimate and it's beautiful. It's really beautiful work.
And so can people practice it by themselves?
Yes.
Like, you're saying that you can do things tantrically, so can you, like, as if you were doing things mindfully, like eating or walking, etc. So can you do all those things tantrically?
Yes, and you can actually practice tantric energy work with yourself. It's one of the most amazing... people might think, oh, well, you're just masturbating, aren't you? But it's really different because it's not about ejaculating. What I realised with Tantra is that actually, there's so much more. There's so much more. It's like if you like have only eaten a kind of a pot noodle for your whole life and you've gone, wow, the moment that microwave pings, I'm in pot noodle heaven. And then suddenly someone goes, hey, come to this restaurant where there's all this fresh food and you can have so much more. It's a lot more.
Okay. I feel intrigued and excited and that I'm missing out, frankly. That's what I'm missing out. That's what I'm feeling. So how did you come to Tantra?
I've been practicing my meditation, my Tai Chi, Reiki, all of these things. And I kind of loved massage, but I was also only really doing it with sexual partners because I always felt like massage was best when you were completely naked and you could really straddle someone and kind of, you know, get to work. And I was like, I don't know how this would work in a professional paying session, but there was this voice kind of saying, you need to be looking into Tantra, and I could feel it. And I was like, okay. And it just got to the point where it was almost like the dam was breaking. And I was like, okay, I'm ready.
Did you train as a tantric masseuse?
It's an ongoing training. So I'm still working with an amazing group of men who I think all of us are kind of slightly going, this is quite new. We're exploring this. We're learning. We're developing. We don't really have a roadmap. But we're kind of, you know, pooling our knowledge and sharing our experiences. But I definitely was lucky enough to work with one teacher who really kind of opened something in me that was quite tidal. And I worked with another amazing teacher who kind of crazily brought together. He only had like 6 people in the workshop, but there were like 3 shamans. And we all just went, oh, what's going on here? And
and you were one of the shamans.
Yeah, and they're all connected. Mm. You know, it's all about energy. It's all about life force. It's all about joy and connectivity.
And so this particular teacher opened something tidal in you. Mm. Are we in metaphorically, literally, both?
Absolutely.
Right.
And I laughed hysterically. Like, I have never... That something shifted in me from that. And it was huge.
So then you decided that you were going to start bringing this joy to other people.
Yeah, and I think I'd got to a point where I no longer felt any shame. I'd have this one encounter where I started wearing makeup because I'd loved doing that when I was a kid, and there was something about putting makeup on that for me was about reconnecting to a really primal desire and joy without feeling any kind of shame. And it took me, 40 years to get there. And there was something about letting go of shame, and I was like, I'm going to totally do this now. And almost as soon as I accepted, then, someone was, emailing me going, I want to have a tantric massage. How much do you charge?
All right, so this is how it started.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so all of those things all coalesced around the same time. And it just took off. I think a lot of people, certainly my experience, I just work with men and male identifying, and in the main with gay men or bisexual men, some straight men, but in the main gay men. And what I notice is that we are hungry for connection.
Mm.
We are not. We have got all these apps and all these ways of hooking up with people and having sex, but somehow we are not being nourished.
Mm.
There's a lot of pot noodle out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. I've been reading Johan Harry's, just as a quick aside, Johan Harry's book, Lost Connections.
Mm.
Basically, yeah, we've lost our tribes, we've lost our communities.
Absolutely.
We are more isolated than ever.
And as Johan says in the book, I think quoting the scientist, the opposite of addiction is not sobriety, it's connection.
Yeah, yes.
Would you like a cup of tea?
Oh, yes, please.
Would you like some milk and sugar?
Go on, then.
Would you like some biscuits on the side?
I wouldn't mind.
Have you got some time for a chat?
I think so.
We could discuss this and that.
That is true.
I like spending time with you.
I do too. That's very nice now, very nice of you to say.
So people started to come into your world demanding massages. And where were you doing this? You were doing this at home?
I was doing it in the spare room.
Right.
At mine.
Mm.
Yep. There was a nice sort of, sofa bed futon-y thing. And I was like, okay, well, this is all I need.
And so what could people expect when they walked through the door?
So they can expect to be met. And they can expect to be listened to. As with most human experiences, I think generally when people come together with another human being, they want to feel like they're being seen.
Mm.
Increasingly, I feel like as well that we're in places where the machines are the interface between us and someone else. And actually what people get straight away is no interface, human contact. And love. They get love. And they get my hands and what comes through my hands. There's a sacred space, which is, for me, the sacred element of it is that the circle is opened and this room is sacred space. What happens in that room happens in accordance with divine love for the highest good. That's my intention behind it. And people are taken very gently and very tenderly in hand and made reminded that they have the ability to say yes and no to everything in their world, in that moment and beyond that moment.
Mm.
And how it works, I still really couldn't tell you. Stuff happens.
You mentioned before when we've been talking about this that you kiss everybody's feet. Is that part of you giving people love as they come through the door?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's part of, the Indian phrase namaste is the God in me recognizes the God in you. And there is something really important with the body work. It begins with an undressing ritual. For me, there is something very important in helping all of us feel that we are divine, that we are an aspect of that. And it's not a shaming or a humiliating or a degrading act. It is an act of pure love and respect.
So an undressing ceremony, you literally undress the person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is when we're ready to begin, that's how it begins. And it is very, very slow and very tender. And it's a lovely way for you know, for the person who comes in to feel my touch, for me to feel them, and for our energies to meet. Mm. Oftentimes at that moment, I can feel if that person is really anxious, if they're relaxed, if they are confident, if they are have particular anxieties in certain parts of their body, locked in certain energy centres. Yeah.
And presumably people are coming for different reasons. Like, they've found you on a gay dating app, mm-hmm. Of which there are many available. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So some people will be coming with the intention for sexual gratification. Do you think so or not?
I mean, this is the really interesting thing. I think that, you know, it's not sex. You can have tantric sex and you can connect with people tantrically through sex, but that's not what I offer.
Okay.
And generally speaking, people don't come there. I mean, I think people, depending on their experience of it, might come thinking, you know, well, this is a massage and it's going to involve a happy ending. And I have to kind of say to them, actually, you need to rethink this. This is about ecstasy from the moment it begins. You don't have to wait for the end to feel happiness. But by the same token, this isn't actually about making you ejaculate. Ironically, given that so much of the attention is me touching your penis. But it's not necessarily where this is at. And actually, when you do shift into the gear to make that happen, it is like kind of suddenly moving from one stream into another. It's a very, very different energy.
Mm. And so do people experience euphoria? Is that what you just said? Or ecstasy from the moment it starts?
I mean, you'd need to speak to them, but the feedback that I've had is generally yes. I mean, people, depending on where people are in themselves, what I witness with Tantra is it always meets you where you are. Mm. So, I've worked with clients. One of the first clients I worked with, I think, had felt like there were a lot of things that were blocking him, felt like there were lots of things that he wanted to shift, hadn't had this work before, came into the room, and, you know, very, very within, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes, you know, the energy inside him was making him convulse to the point where, you know, I just needed to hold him. Where it wasn't about stimulation. It wasn't about any of the tropes that we think of as taking place when people are intimate with each other. It was just about holding while someone is shaking in your arms through the energy that is in their body. Mm. And he got in touch to see me again 6 months later. And he was like, everything in my life has changed since that moment. And so you can definitely, some people are really ready for things to shift.
So it's like you're unblocking.
Yes.
Something.
Yes. Yeah. Unblocking.
Releasing.
Clearing, releasing, unkinking, helping to flow. Yeah. Yeah.
I've previously looked at your testimonials and they are amazing. I mean, they are really effusive. People are literally using the words, you've changed my life. And exactly as you've just described, that guy said his life's changed completely. I mean, it makes me wonder what on earth is going on between those four walls. but it's really, really intriguing to me. And you also said about being naked.
Mm.
Are you both naked?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Right.
And there are reasons for that, partly because I use quite a lot of warmed coconut oil. Mm. There's a lot of oil going on. I also like to work with my whole body for certain aspects of the work.
I love that.
Oh, it's great. It's great. And as soon as I started doing it, I was like, this is why I never got into massage outside of partnerships, because I needed to get to a point where I was like, actually, you're coming in to experience this. I am going to be naked and my whole body is going to be on yours at different points. And of course, it doesn't have to happen. If people are uncomfortable with that or they do not want that, then obviously I won't do that. Mm. But it is one of the ways I like to work. More importantly, I would say it's about nakedness on every level. So we are emotionally and energetically naked with each other. If there is something going on for that person, sometimes I will be working on part of their body and I will feel a pain in certain parts of me. Or there have been times when I've been working around people's heart center and I will just feel just this enormous pain and this need to cry. Mm. So there's a lot of stuff happening, and it's not about, oh, oh, look, someone's naked. It's like the nakedness is just who we are when you strip everything else off. And that's what this work is about. This work is about the purity of energy in body.
And do you find that, do people cry? Like you were saying, you feel their emotions. So presumably if they're having a massive release while you're doing it, do people get quite emotional?
People have, yeah. Yeah, I've been with people where there's been a lot of tears. The way I tell it to people, because it's my experience of it, is that, you know, I can tell them what happens at the start. I can tell them that there'll be an undressing ritual, and I can tell them that I'll be working on their back. These are fairly standard aspects of it. But once we get to my working on their front, it can go in so many different directions. Every session is unique. Sometimes people will be writhing, they will be moving. It will almost be like, you know, one client in particular where it was sort of like some really primal power animal was kind of coming up and through, and it was like a dragon. It was like just rah!
Bowsers.
You can have people who, and experiences where the energy is just totally, totally calming and snuggly and soft and gentle. So, yeah, this, it's all colours.
And you've progressed now from your spare bedroom.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where are you practising now?
So I practise in Covent Garden. It's a really, really lovely studio space in the middle of London. It's gorgeous. And it's one that lots and lots of other practitioners use. So you can feel how much love and energy there is in that space that is coming from group work and personal work. And I use that. So, it's also expanded in lots of different ways. So I'm now offering what I call sacred counselling. You know, sometimes people need just to talk. Mm. But the nature of what they're wanting to talk about is sexual, or it's about intimacy, about relationships. And that has evolved. I also have been working with couples and working in a way that is about helping them move through issues around their relationship, within their relationship, and also teaching. So I'm now offering workshops about how to work with this energy with yourself and then with others. Everyone's needs are different. I also work, with people if they're happy to, and it's practical to work at their homes, and I work there. But it's a really, yeah, the studio is great.
If people are listening and they are thinking, I want to try this myself. I mean, you know, just hypothetically, say a woman might be listening to you talking, thinking, I've been missing out. Girl, I need some tantric massage in my life.
Yeah.
Well, firstly, is it available for women as well?
Yes, I mean, obviously. Of course. It's available for all of us.
Yeah, okay.
It's available for all of us. I mean, it's about finding the right practitioner. It's like yoga, or it's like meditation. You know, you find the person where you're like, yes, that's really working for me. I'm really drawn to that person. There are loads of people out there. One of the most important things for me is about consent. When I was younger, I found it really difficult to know when I was saying yes, whether I actually meant yes. I would find myself, people would say, do you want to come out for a drink? And I'd be like, yes! And then I'd be like, I didn't mean that. So, you know, part of what helps us to be able to be authentic and authentic in relationships is to being able to go, I want this, I don't want that. And so one of the things that is really inspiring for me around this subject is Betty Martin's work of the Wheel of Consent. So the ability to give and to receive, but for that to be something that you're able to understand, yes, I'm happy to give this much, but this is where I stop, and I'm happy to receive this much, but this is my limit, and also to take and to allow. So it's really, really important when someone comes into my room, what do they expect and what do they get? One of those first things is going, you know, this is your power. You are always in charge here. You are always able to say, no, I don't want that. No, please stop that. Or I want it like this. And I am in my power to say, I am prepared to do this. I am not prepared to do that. So if we're going to navigate how to have good relationships, like Tantra says, woven throughout the rest of our days, then what this offers is a great playground to be able to understand our own desires and also our own limits.
Tony.
Yeah, he came across as a really warm, lovely guy.
Do you know what he is?
Yeah.
He's just a vessel of loveliness. It seems, after talking to him, it's very much that it's a spiritual and all-body kind of experience.
Massively so, and it's not at all like going to an erotic massage in Soho.
No.
That's a totally different world.
Yeah, yeah.
Is the impression you get from him.
And it did really make me think that I am missing out.
I know.
Like, I joked about it, but I genuinely think I'm missing out and I want that.
I would love to be so open and relaxed in my body that I could go and do that.
Mm.
The one thing I want to know more of that I didn't quite understand, when he says he uses his full body to massage you, I'm trying to imagine in my mind what that looks like. Like, is he lying on top of you doing the caterpillar? And, you know, what is he actually doing with his full body massaging you?
Well, actually, I was in Byron,
yeah,
and with my partner at the time, and there was this festival that was on all every year, and there was a massage tent that we both went into. We were on separate tables, and they, it turns out, use their whole body. So they're not naked, they're not rubbing all their bits on you, but they, you know, when they stroke their arm up your back, yeah, they then follow through. So you've got like the whole length of their arm, okay, stroking right up, and maybe their armpit or their shoulder, yeah, and you can feel their chest against you. So it's a bit, I'm imagining something like that. Like, yeah, for to be massage, we both actually, me and my husband at the end of it, we came out and we were like, I actually feel like I've just been cheating on you. So we both felt a little bit aroused by the experience. But there was something just so special, that full body connectivity. So yeah, when they were massaging my feet, they were rubbing, you know, and bending my leg up, they were rubbing it against their chest and their torso.
Blimey.
So I know, but it was lovely.
Yeah. Interestingly, a friend of mine who had been single for a long time once told me that if you're single for a long time and you're not getting any physical contact from someone else, you should go and have a regular massage because human beings crave that physical contact.
That's me.
He talks about that, doesn't he? About, yeah, the connecting with someone. Actually, connecting is more than just going to a, you know, spa and or massage parlor
to get your happy ending.
Yeah, that kind of deeper connection.
Ooh, that's nice. That's very nice. Oh, it's nice.
So, Gwen, you've been on a little adventure, haven't you?
I have, Kate.
Tell us all about it. I'm dying to hear about this.
All right. So I took one for the team, for the rump team.
Yeah.
And I contacted Graham. We were discussing about whether I should change his name to protect his identity, but I love that his name is Graham so much.
Yeah.
I just want to call him Graham.
Sexy name.
So I went to see Graham from southwesttantra.co.uk. And we'd had this conversation and he'd agreed that it would be mostly talking.
Yeah.
And with maybe a bit of him, you know, prodding me from the outside over my clothes to let me know what things are possible. So I rocked up there and I kind of felt, I mean, honestly, for the whole week, I was like, I've got to cancel this. What
were
am
you,
I doing?
Were you nervous?
I was so nervous, yeah, and I felt a bit like sick with nerves. Anyway, we go into this room, okay, and we sit on cushions opposite each other.
Uh-huh.
And he shows me this consent form first. And the first half an hour was all about consent,
right?
Which is really, really important in these scenarios, as Keone was pointing,
yes,
out. And I wish I'd taken a photo of this form, though. It was like you had to like tick yes or no.
Okay.
Like clothes off, practitioner's clothes off, full body massage, like chest massage, vaginal or yoni massage, yoni penetration.
I don't think have we used the word yoni yet on this podcast?
Oh, maybe
podcast?
We haven't.
So yoni is the tantra name for your vagina. Is that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just tantric name though, right? Is it like an Indian, is yoni's used in different, oh my God, we know nothing.
We still know nothing.
Yoni is your vagina.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I basically was like, no. I was like, I don't want to be naked.
No.
I don't want Graham to be naked.
Yeah.
I don't want him massaging my boobs. I'm a bit self-conscious about my boobs,
okay,
so I didn't want them out. But then I was like, actually, yeah, I'll go for a yoni massage.
When in
and
Rome?
It says at the top, he doesn't do penis in penetration.
So you mentioned this to me, and this blew my mind a little bit, because I don't get where the line is crossed then from right. him, the penis penetration, to just having sex with someone.
Because so there's this thing called om meditation, right? Okay. Which is basically where somebody massages your clitoris for 15 minutes. Right. And a friend told me about this recently. I was like, are you for real? She's going to go to this group or something. I was like, what? And then my ex-love coach, Vinny, he told me about it. And his friend had gone and she was having tantric massage and this om massage. And the guy had been massaging her yoni with his penis. At what point is your girlfriend just cheating on you?
Just having sex.
But anyway, wow. I was happy to see that Graham doesn't use his penis when
Good
massaging
you,
a yoni. Anyway, he comes back in to see the list. I'm like, look, Graham, the thing is, at the moment, it's a lot of not yets. And maybe I'll lead up to this in the future if we do this again. But right now, I'm not really feeling, you know. So we do all this. He's then teaching me all about consent. And it's all about how, I'm not going to be able to remember this exactly, but basically how usually women, we've been taught to kind of prioritise male pleasure.
Yeah.
So even when we are being pleasured, we're very aware of the male. And in this situation, you are just receiving and you're not at all worried about the person who's giving it to you. You're not at all worried about their enjoyment or reciprocal kind of pleasure. It's all about you. So I'm like, okay, I'm down with this.
I can go with that.
Yeah. I'm all right with this. And he's basically saying, look, just go with what you feel in this session, because I'm still like, what is going to happen on that bed? I don't like what is going to happen.
Yeah,
I don't understand. And he's like, anything that you feel like, if I suggest something and you're not sure about it, and then I'm like, no, I think you should do it, and then you do it, he goes, that's abuse. But if you're not sure and I've suggested something and then you feel like a pulling towards it, and then you kind of feel that you might regret it if you leave the room and you haven't done it, then you should try it.
And that's a really interesting distinction. That's a really important distinction he makes, that gentle suggestion to get someone to do something is wrong. That's still not as consent should work.
Yeah. Or that he can gently suggest something, and if you feel a pull towards it, and that always gets me, that kind of like, am I going to regret not doing this? Like, that really works for me.
Yeah.
He was speaking my language, basically. So we started with eye gazing, and I was really reluctant. He's like, well, would you like to do it? We'll just gaze into each other's eyes. I've heard about these things before where people just fall in love from gazing into each other's eyes.
Intimate.
I was like, I don't want to fall in love with Graham, not before he starts massaging my yoni.
No.
So I was very I was not very open to it, I don't think. But I sat there, I did it. Yeah. And also he's like, and we'll do it for as long as you're comfortable.
And how did you feel when doing it? Did you feel massively awkward?
Kind of, yeah. But also there was kind of like just a kind of closeness and a softness and a kind of like, oh, this guy's really nice.
Yeah.
So, and then we were like smiling, and then there was moments where we'd laugh.
Yeah.
And then once I'd had enough of it, I was like, right, that's enough. But so that was all right.
Yeah.
Then I laid down. I'm fully clothed. I took off my skirt and top, but I had like a vest and leggings on. And he massaged. He was like rocking all one side of my body. And then he's like, how does that side of your body feel? And I was like, oh, my God, it feels really open and soft and fluid. And he did the other. And I was feeling really open and soft and fluid. And this was lovely. And then he made me do this thing, which if you can picture it, I'm lying on my back and I've got my knees up and my feet together and my knees apart.
Okay.
And then he kind of made me just lift my knees up slightly, just kept going until my legs started juddering. So you're obviously just at the edge of a muscle kind of spasm, and kept me there for ages. And my muscle spasming, and I kept just lifting my legs up slightly, so it kept doing it. It was really surprising. I was like, what's happening? And then my pelvis was like shuddering. He was saying to me, how does that make you feel? Are you feeling aroused or are you feeling surprised?
That doesn't sound like a particularly arousing act.
I was not aroused.
No.
I was surprised that he thought I'd be around.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm surprised. And he goes, feel free to like, you know, express it vocally. I was like,
How surprising. This is not a gym workout. But yeah, basically that's like a muscle at the base of your spine, which is being opened up. That actually afterwards felt really good. I really did feel like I'd opened up.
I can try that at home.
Well, that's it. You can.
Yeah. He wasn't supporting your legs in any way.
No, not at all. No. So anyway, all right. So then we come to it. Get to the good bit. Get to the juicy bit.
Come on. We all know what we want to hear about.
Yeah, we're getting there. So he says, basically, we've now got two options with the time left. We can either do the 15-minute OM meditation or the meditation massage thing.
Yeah. 15 option one.
Blimey. What is option two, sir? Or then it's a 5-touch massage, which is like there's just normal massage and then like pinching and then like sensual strokes. And then the last one is not even touching. So you can choose between those two.
So, Gwen, tell us, which option did you go for, the red pill or the blue pill?
Look, I didn't know. I was like, what am I going to do here? I was like, I literally don't know how to choose. And he goes, close your eyes and see. Just tune into your body and see what your body wants. And my body was speaking loud and clear.
Hello, Gwen up there. Someone pay me attention.
So I was like, Graham, I will take the genital massage, please.
Brilliant.
So next thing. I'm laying there. Basically, he's facing the business end.
Yeah.
And I can't see what's going on, which is ideal.
Yeah.
So I'm lying there with my eyes closed.
That's good.
He's already told me he's seen a whole range of vaginas.
Oh.
Because he treats a lot of people who have had really serious injuries.
Oh, right.
And are maybe like wheelchair bound. Yeah. So he was really trying to reassure me to not be self-conscious about mine. And he looked at it. Oh, that was another thing he does. He does yoni gazing.
So he just gazes at your vagina.
Yeah, so he was just gazing at my vagina. And he was like, you have a very healthy pink yoni.
Oh, wow.
I was so pleased by that.
You should write that inspirational quote above your desk. I have a healthy pink yoni. I'm a strong, independent woman.
I was like, I'm sure you say that to all the women, Graham, but I still felt so pleased. I was like, oh, thank you. Anyway, he was like, and so we will begin. I mean, I don't know how much detail to give you of this, of the next 15 minutes.
People can maybe just PM you if they want to have more detail. Let's just, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I'm going to give it a good thumbs up.
A big thumbs up.
Yep.
Go Graham.
Go Graham.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, obviously there was a lot going through my mind.
Yeah.
I'm like, who is this guy? How does he get paid to do this for a living?
Yeah.
There was just so much going through my head. While also, hello.
There's a massive trust issue, though, isn't it? Not an issue in a bad way, but you're putting yourself in this man's, this stranger's hands, basically. And did you zone out? Were you aware of him or did you just begin to forget about
him? Oh, I was aware of him. Yeah. But when I left, he did say to me, look, you're going to have been lying there thinking to yourself, who is this guy rubbing my... were you reading my mind?
Bingo.
He said, but after a few sessions... or after like 10 sessions, you will just come in, you'll know what to expect, you'll lie there, I'll know your body, you'll know what to expect, it'll all be far more relaxed. But the most amazing thing, I think, is really how I felt afterwards.
How did you feel afterwards?
Because, so I'm leaving and he's like, probably the best thing for you to do right now is go and sit in a cafe and have a hot chocolate. And there's a cafe just down the road. I was like, okay, all right, Graham. I just leave and I go to my car and I think I'm just going to go home. And I'm floating down the road. And I get to my car, the sun's shining. And I'm like, I'm not ready to drive.
Yeah.
I'm like, I will go to that cafe and have hot chocolate. And I just go in there and I'm just like super smiley and I sit there and I have a hot chocolate. And then I go, I'm going to go home and have a bath.
Yeah.
And usually in the bath, I take in a book or a podcast. So I took in a book and an iPad and I was like, I'm not going to listen or read. I'm just going to look at the sun coming in, dappling over my legs and dappling on the ceiling. And oh, don't my feet look funny? I was giggling lying in the bath.
And that can't be just because you had a fun 5 minutes. That's got to be as a result of the whole experience.
Yes. I think that maybe that shuddery leg thing, that as well. I don't know, but the bliss that I experienced for at least a couple of hours afterwards before I got back to doing work and it all vanished was amazing. And the potential to kind of open myself up and be more in tune with my body, I highly recommend it.
Well, well, well. Thanks for sharing, Gwen.
Pleasure.
I'm having to keep myself quiet and still while you talk, even though I'm excited. Yes, I'm buzzing and thrilled about that little thing that you said. I couldn't be more delighted.
And now back to the present day.
Well, Gwen, I'm never going to be able to look you in the eye again. And thanks for sharing.
Pleasure. I've just so you know, listener, there's been a lot edited out of that from listening back a year later. Like, I don't need to mention quite that much detail.
Go for a less is more approach.
Yeah, less is definitely more. All right, Kate, your turn. What have you been doing?
So, listener, you've probably already worked out that I'm a little bit more conservative than Gwen when it comes to these things, as is Chris, my husband. So we thought we would embark on an adventure in eye gazing.
Oh, okay.
Which was hysterical, because to start off with, it was like we were doing one of those, you know, when you were kids, you do those who blinks first things. We were both staring at each other, and then after about 30 seconds, it's like, oh, I'm allowed to blink. Great. Okay. Just relax. Like eyeballing each other like we were some sort of batter.
With dry eyeballs.
Have a sparring match. Yeah. But then actually, once we stopped giggling and making stupid faces at each other and, you know, once I remembered to blink, it was really nice. I did get a really warm glow of love washing through me.
Oh.
And we both kind of relaxed and our faces, you could see I couldn't see my face, but I could see his face soften. I could feel my face soften. And it was lovely just staring at somebody. Staring is too aggressive a word. Gazing at somebody and having set yourself that you're not allowed to look away. You know, there's no point kind of...
How long did you go for?
Probably, I would say, best part of a minute. Which is a hell of a long time.
Well, yes. But not quite as long as I thought you were going to say, but okay,
done. Well, you think it was going to be like hour and a half? Solid staring at each other.
No, I thought you might go for 4 minutes or something.
Well, I wasn't timing it. We just did it for, I mean, I say a minute, that was a guess. I wasn't timing it. We just did it for what felt like a natural amount of time.
Yeah.
Maybe it was longer than a minute. I don't
Probably.
Know. I have no concept of time.
No.
How long have we been in the woods for?
No idea.
2 days?
Yes.
So it was really nice. And actually, we both, when we broke gaze, we both felt really like, oh, that was lovely.
Oh.
Yeah. Because lives are busy. And you don't always look at the person. Obviously, there are lots of different approaches to tantric massage, and you don't have to have a partner, but if you have a partner you can do these things together, and life's busy and you often don't pay attention to those people closest in your lives, and just looking at each other like that was really beautiful.
Well, do you know, I was thinking that as you were saying that, I thought, when was the last time that you two probably stopped and looked at each other in the eye for more than 2 seconds?
Yeah,
because you're probably doing so much side by side and around each other with the cooking and the cleaning and the looking after the kids and working from home and all of this stuff that you're doing around each other. Yeah, that act of stopping and focusing, you probably like, was it as profound as being reminded of your love for him? Like, did that come out? I'm looking for love here. were you reminded of him?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, his beautiful face and his gentle eyes, and it was lovely. Sorry, everyone's probably listening to this going, oh, this is disgusting.
No, they're with me. They're going, this is lovely.
I know, because actually we're very jokey and we're playful with each other, and so often when we are looking at each other, it's in some sort of jokey way.
Mm.
And that's exactly how it started out, and then gradually once that kind of wears off a bit, then it just became really lovely. So I would recommend anyone who's listening to look at your partner. You might be surprised what you see.
Do you know what? I think this whole thing with the tantric massage, yes, you might not feel up for going and... I'm trying to think of a dad's safe way of saying this. going and dropping your drawers for a stranger called Graham, you know, if that's too much for you...
And it will be for a lot of people.
For me, yeah. Most people. And to be honest, it was a lot for me.
Yeah.
But what you can do is do something intimate, and it doesn't have to revolve around your genitalia.
No.
But you can do something intimate, like you have done with your partner,
yeah,
to reconnect.
Yeah. And completely. And what's interesting about it is that there are ways, and I think Kioni does touch on this, doesn't he, that there are ways of reconnecting without it being physical. For example, Chris hates me massaging him, and he hates massaging me. Just the whole thing is just like, oh God, no, I hate it.
I don't understand people like that.
I know. Oh, we were saying this earlier, weren't we, that I love going for a massage, and if I was loaded, I would be having a massage every day.
Yeah. Every day,
every hour,
should
on
get
the
nothing
hour.
Done. But at least weekly,
yes, you know. But the kind of that reconnecting in a non-physical way is actually really powerful in itself.
And also for those people who are at home crying into their cup of tea going, but I don't have a husband, girl, I'm with you. We need that touch. I think that this is... You know, this is where massages are so important, yeah, and going, and especially now when we're not allowed to bloody well hug people.
Oh, yeah.
And we're spending more time by ourselves than we ever have done in our entire lives.
Yeah.
It's like, if you can, go and get just a normal massage or have some kind of form of touch from another person. So if you don't have that other person at home, go find one.
I feel like we've gone full circle a bit here, going back to what we were talking about with Klarna in the very first episode about the power of touch and
yes,
connecting and grounding. There's been so many common themes of unintentionally, but that have just naturally threaded their way through all of the episodes in this series, haven't there?
Yes, and it's that connecting with yourself as well as the connecting with nature, yeah, our life source. And maybe because right now we feel wildly disconnected.
Yeah.
A lot of us have been separated from friends and family for most of this year. So, yeah, maybe that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. So, Kate, tantric massage, is it something that you will pursue with your partner?
I'm going to be completely honest with you here. I don't think tantric massage is for me.
Right.
I've found it really fascinating finding out about it and hearing about your experience of it. It's a step too far for me, if yeah, truth be told. My kind of slightly conservative English nature suddenly rears its head when we start getting into that kind of realm. I don't know if this is a good or a bad thing. So no, I'm gonna put my hand up and say this is not for me. What about you, Gwen?
But you might venture into... So maybe a bit of eye gazing or just reconnecting in,
yeah,
another way.
But saying that, eye gazing, the reconnecting, the kind of the thoughts that are underneath it all about that connection with another person or that connection with yourself, I think are really beautiful. What,
yeah,
about you, Gwen? Because that was a really unusual experience that you had.
Yes, it was. And it was one that I was talking with my counsellor about just this morning, actually, coincidentally, in a positive way,
yeah,
and just kind of talking about what I got out of it. And I did feel, I had a real strong sense that if I had pursued it and carried on doing it, like every, you know, he was suggesting weekly, I mean, it, £165, it's prohibitive. Really,
blimey,
but
yeah, it's a lot of money, isn't it?
It is a lot of money, but you know, you could get a deal, a bog,
yeah,
off, or something. But if I could afford it, I think I would feel so zen. I'm really glad that I did it, and I'm really glad that I tried it, and I know that it has massive benefits for people. Those words of Kioni's, you know, the life changes that people have had through coming to him, and the blocks that they have unblocked,
yeah,
that have had really massive knock-on effects. That does still seem really attractive. Yeah, now all I've got to do is find a partner who I can practice with.
Email at writeupmypodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you you for listening to Write Up My Podcast, the final episode of season one.
That's right. So we are now going to, as Gwen said, have a break, and we're going to be coming back sometime around the beginning of March with season two. In the meantime, we're going to be beavering away, interviewing people, preparing our next series of fascinating subject matter.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
We're not coming back until it's fascinating.
But you can still get in touch with us in the usual ways. We'd still love to hear from you. Any thoughts, ideas, feedback you've got?
Email us, writeupmypodcast@gmail.com. You can also get us on our socials. Do follow us. That would be nice. We're on Twitter @writeupmy and Insta @writeupmy as well.
And also, you can check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/writeupmypodcast, where you can find some odds and sods of content.
Which we will honestly record at some point and stick them up. Maybe that'll be our Christmas present for you.
Yes.
And also, please do rate and review us. Mm. I think you can only review us on Apple Podcasts, but it'll be really, really useful for us. The more reviews we have, the better we look. So we'll appreciate that.
And one last big fat thank you to the whole Write Up My Podcast team,
who
are so generous and talented with their time and their skills.
That is Andy Turvey, our very patient editor, Andrew Grimes, the amazing music man, Kat O'Boyle, our content editor and a girl's best friend, and Erica Francis George, who's an amazing artist who does our artwork. You guys, thank you. And a massive, massive thank you to everybody who's listening. Thank you so much for keeping us company on this journey. But my absolute biggest thanks goes to you, Kate, for being a dream co-host and for helping me and being my support animal throughout this whole process. I can't have imagined doing this with anybody else.
Likewise, Gwen, I echo that. I can't think of a single other person I'd rather be doing this with. Love you, chick.
Love you, chick.
And in the meantime, have a lovely Christmas, a very Merry New Year, and keep doing things
to make you feel good. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Aww.
Tell me, did you like the podcast, Brian?
No!
Oh. If, unlike Brian, you thought our podcast was really great, then don't hold back, like, subscribe and tell your mate. But if, like Brian, you thought our podcast wasn't fun, then just keep quiet, don't feel the need to tell anyone. Oh, we'd love to hear from you if you've got some thoughts to share, such rich and lovely views that all should be aware of. But I hope you liked our podcast and you thought it was really great. And if you did, like, subscribe and tell your mate. 'Cause we don't need grumpy pants bringing everybody down. No, we don't need negative Nellies making people frown. So I hope you liked our podcast and you thought it was really great. And if you did, like, subscribe and tell your mate.